The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Jesus commissions harvesters and laborers to go where he would go and do what he would do, risking hardship and danger in exchange for the experience of great joy. They offer peace and healing as signs that the reign of God is near. I begin reading at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever noticed in so many of the Bible stories when the Bible characters come in contact with God, they are changed in a certain way. They may be physically changed, such as when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments, it says that he came down and he glowed like the glory of God. Something changed about him. Or Paul, in his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, when he had his conversion, he was changed also physically. He had scales on his eyes. He was blind. But when he was baptized then, he was able to see, and his life was transformed, not only physically, but his whole spiritual being was changed, and he became one of the greatest witnesses. When the angel came to visit Mary and told her that she would be the mother of the Christ child, her life was absolutely changed as well. And as a result, she broke out into song, into what's called the Magnificat. Story after story, people are transformed and they're changed when the kingdom of God has come near to them. Many times they're driven to action. Sometimes they're changed physically. Sometimes their whole spiritual being and their outlook on life is changed in a new way. A police officer was talking to a pastor, and the police officer asked the pastor, "A lot of times when I see names written out of clergy, that they have a DD at the end of it. What does DD mean? And the pastor explained, well, most pastors have a Master's of Divinity degree, and that's usually a capital M, a capital D, and a little IV. But when you see the DD at the end of it, that means Doctor of Divinity. And the police officer thought about it a little bit and said, sometimes we run across those initials in my profession too, but it's not the officers that have DD after it. It's some of those people that we arrest, and it stands for drunk and disorderly. For the early Christians, they were accused many times of being drunk and disorderly because the kingdom of God had come near to them and their life had been completely transformed. If you remember that story of Pentecost, the disciples were all gathered together in the upper room. The Holy Spirit came into their lives and they were transformed. They were changed. They had to leave those locked doors, go out into the world and proclaim the news of Jesus Christ. And as they did, the Spirit was filling them, and they were able to speak in the different languages of all the people that were gathered there in Jerusalem on the streets. And I'm sure it sounded very disorderly. And as a matter of fact, the Scripture even mentions that they were accused of being drunk, but they were simply full of the Holy Spirit. And they had to proclaim that good news of Jesus Christ because they had been changed. The kingdom of God had come near to them, and they had changed. A famous trapeze artist was performing, but in the middle of his performance, he missed a swing, and he came crashing to the ground. It didn't kill him, but it injured him severely. In the hospital, a newspaper reporter was interviewing him, and the reporter asked him, "What do you plan to do when you get out of the hospital?" And the trapeze artist says, "Well, I'll go back to doing what I had been doing if I'm capable of doing that." And the reporter asked him, "Well, aren't you afraid to get back up to those heights? Aren't you afraid that you're going to fall again?" And the reporter says, "No, because I know exactly what I did wrong. I hesitated." When the trapeze artists are all about timing, that you have to get your timing right. And I hesitated before jumping out to grab that bar that was swinging towards me. And because of that, I missed. And this tragedy had happened. In our gospel story today, Jesus sends out his disciples, and it says 70 others as well. He sends out many people in pairs of twos to go and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near, to touch the lives of many people. But as Jesus sends them out, he gives it a sense that there is a sense of urgency, that there is no hesitation in going out. He says, carry no bag, no sandals, don't carry money, don't pack any extra clothes. Just go. Go and do. Do not hesitate. I think sometimes when we hesitate, the tragedies start to happen because we miss those opportunities. It was very important that Jesus sends these out because this is kind of the last minute training or the finals before they would be doing it on their own. Because Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem. He didn't have time to mess around. And so too, he wanted to instill in them that there was a sense of urgency to get out there and proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. And as they did that, they learned that they were able to cure sick people. They were able to cast out demons. They were able to touch people in their lives. That they were able to bring the kingdom of God near to other people. And as a result, they came back. And it was almost like they were drunk and disorderly because they were so excited about the things that did happen. They were able to cure people by the Spirit of God. They were able to cure people. They were also able to cast out the demons. And they were so excited about what they were able to do. Have you ever noticed in large modern day organizations, a lot of times it doesn't seem like things happen. And that can be in government, it can be in a large business, it can be in churches even. What happens is that there is a chain of bureaucracy or a chain of command. And nobody wants to take responsibility of making decisions. And as a result, it takes forever to get anything to move along. Opportunities are lost. People hesitate. And if you notice, if there are some that are not up to par, are corrupt within those, a lot of times you can't find them. Because you have to go through all that bureaucracy. You have to go through that whole chain of command. And nobody wants to take responsibility. And as you know, in the last few years in the newspapers, you see corrupt politicians a lot of times who are not caught. Or large businesses go into trouble. I know a number of years ago IBM was, or more recently the auto industry, the banking industry, the housing industry. Because nobody wants to take responsibility. Because they're afraid of making decisions and getting caught. And nothing happens. There is hesitation. How about for us as Christians within the body of Christ? Do we hesitate? Are we afraid to make decisions? Are we afraid to step out on the limb? That maybe somebody's going to be upset with us. Or maybe something bad is going to happen. Here in our gospel lesson, Jesus says, people do reject that God has come near to them. They don't want a part of it. And when that happens, there is a contingency plan. He just says, simply take your sandals, shake the dust of the town off of them, and go on. But still proclaim to them that the kingdom of God has come near. We move on. There's no regrets. We don't double think it. We don't go back on ourselves. But we just simply go on. That Spirit of God is still with us. We go out and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. God calls us. He calls us to go out. Just like He called the 70 to go out. That there is no time for hesitation. There's no time to quaver back and forth. But rather, we are to go out and we're to act like we're drunk and disorderly. Not from the spirits of a bottle, but from the Spirit of the Lord. God calls us to go out and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.